Dr. Luis Sandoval is accomplished in the fields of mental health and spiritual warfare. A medical doctor, board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and family medicine, he is also a psychiatrist for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange Ministry of Healing and Deliverance. Now, Dr. Luis Sandoval.
All right, folks. Well, welcome to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. As always, happy to be here as your host. You know, it's an interesting time for us. Happy Easter. Happy Easter octave. We just got through the Easter celebration, the celebration of Easter Sunday. Obviously, huge, biggest celebration we have in the Catholic Church, second is Christmas. So, but Easter is it. Easter is it for us. This is where we celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise to us from the book of Genesis, from the time he told Adam and Eve, hey, I'm going to send somebody down to fix what you guys just messed up. And that's kind of what he tells us every day. That's one of the things I take solace in recognizing that God already knows my imperfections. God already knows my faults. And yet he loves me anyway. He loves me in a way that, in spite of my faults, there's nothing that I can do wrong in his eyes, so to speak, because not because what we do is not wrong, not because sin doesn't exist, not because we can't hurt him, but in a way that he says, you know what? My mercy is so much greater than whatever sin you committed. It's like a parent to a child, to a young child who is maybe a toddler, doesn't know any better, is getting into things, and you say, you just ruined everything in this room. Well, I'm going to go fix it, but my love for you is so much greater than what you just ruined. But we still need to fix it. This is where we are. This is where the culmination of last week of the Triduum. I hope everybody had a very holy, happy Triduum. And, you know, that's a season unto itself here in our church from Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. And, of course, we culminate with Easter Sunday, whether you went to the vigil or you went to church and got to quiet the dog down, went to church on Easter Sunday. We're celebrating the culmination of God's promise. And as we do that, hopefully we start to recognize that we are worthy of God's love, not because we say so, but because he said so. And, you know, when we go through that, when we're starting off thinking about how much does God love me, that's where things like doubt can settle in. That's where things like, unfortunately, we start to feel that we're not worthy. We start to not believe what God is actually telling us. And that can be a very, very lonely, dangerous place in our hearts. Today, we're going to talk about how do we overcome that. And we're going to look at Sister Faustina, and we're going to look at what Jesus told her about spiritual warfare. So before we get into that, let's start off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, folks, I got to tell you, Easter's, we can say Easter's behind us, but not really, because we're in the octave of Easter, which means that this whole week we still celebrate Easter. We are in the Easter season. And the octave is, like the name says, it means eight days. It starts with one feast and ends with another. It's got a bookmark ends of feast. For us, the Easter octave obviously starts with Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection, the triumphal resurrection of our Lord into heaven, where he, after he, his passion and death, he made up for our sins, and he said, now I need you to do your part. I need you to accept that I suffered and died for you, and that my resurrection means something to you. And I think that that's a pitfall we fall into when we start to believe that I can never make it to heaven. God could never love me. Look at what I've done. Jesus is going to say, then what was the point of me dying on the cross? If that's where you're going to be in your heart, in your mind, if that's where you're going to settle into emotionally, spiritually, it doesn't make sense, right? And from a, on my end of things, what I'm really interested in is from a mental health perspective, if we start thinking that way, boy, we're going to easily fall into despair. We're going to start to get anxious. We're going to start to wonder if everything we do is a sin, start to get scrupulous, feel like we need to go to confession multiple times a day. And, you know, all of a sudden we get into the point where, or we get to the place where we have to ask ourselves, where is God's mercy in my life? At what point do I realize I need to move forward. I need to live life, and I need to trust in God. Well, that's where the other end of the Easter octave falls for us. We're going to celebrate Easter Sunday. We just did that. Next Sunday is, this coming Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. And that's one of the most beautiful feasts, I think, that we have in the church, because it really makes sense. Jesus opened up the gates of heaven. He resurrected. He went through his passion. He died on the cross. And as he promised, he said, in 3 days, you can tear down this temple and I will rebuild it. And he did. He rebuilt the temple of his body. And really, more than anything else, the temple of his church. It's a new church, if you will, a new life. It was letting the Jewish people know that, gosh, salvation is for actually everybody. Even though the Jews are the chosen people, as we know from the biblical history, salvation is for everybody. Divine mercy is very important, because now that Jesus did his part, we come to Divine Mercy Sunday, and Divine Mercy is where Jesus is saying, okay, this is your part now. I'm offering you my mercy. The gates of heaven are opened, but now can you come in? Or do you recognize that you are worthy because of my sacrifice, not because of anything you did on your own other than follow me to make it into heaven? And that's really the important part. That's what hopefully gives us hope and gives us a sense of saying, you know what? I'm going to try better every day. I know I'm not perfect, but that's not what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on Christ. I'm going to focus on how can I best follow the Ten Commandments, follow what Jesus taught, find Jesus and everybody around me, which is more than anything else, and accept the fact that Jesus wants me in heaven. God wants me in heaven. God loves me so much that he wants me in heaven. When we start thinking, I don't deserve it, that could be a problem. Well, in spiritual warfare, we think about that a lot, because those are the lies that once we start heading down that path, those are the lies that, whether it be evil spirits or dark thoughts or depression or anxiety sets in. And if we start listening to that, then we're going to lose that battle. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I found this great article. I was going to go through the diary one by one, but there is this great article. There is a section in the diary to St. Faustina. St. Faustina, as you know, is a Polish nun who Jesus appeared to and gave her the message of divine mercy and letting her know that his mercy is so much greater than any of our sins. And that's where Jesus really takes delight in saying, hey, it's kind of like, you know, when somebody builds a house and they're so proud of it and they built it with their own hands and they want to show you everything they did and they want to walk you around the house and show you where all the nails were and what parts of the house, building the house, were the most challenging. And those are probably the parts that they love the most, where they say, gosh, this door beam, it was really hard to put up, but I tried for it. And I worked like 3 months just to get that. And now that I got that, I could build the rest of the house. Whatever it is, people are very proud of the work they did. I think in the same way, this is where divine mercy, Jesus says, hey, look at what I did for you. Let me show you what I had to go through. Now it's your turn to come on in here and enjoy the fruits of that labor, but you got to put in your part. You got to put in your part. What I want to focus on today is, how do I put in my part when I don't feel that good? When I feel like, I don't know that Jesus loves me that much. I don't know that I can be lovable. I don't know that what I did is truly worthy of heaven. We start having all these doubts because we doubt sometimes that, one, we're lovable, that Jesus could love us as much as he does, and that our sins are not as great as God's love and mercy, regardless of how big a sinner you are. But what we're going to go through today is Jesus actually told Sister Faustina 25 things that she could do in terms of spiritual warfare, in terms of warding off evil spirits, that will help her focus on his mercy, his divine mercy. So let's go through this article a little bit. Let's talk about these 25 points. They're very, very important. And how can we apply them to our lives? Because all of a sudden we also start to think, oh, but Sister Faustina, she's a saint. I could never be a saint. Folks, remember, that's what we're aiming towards. We have to be saints because that's the title we get when we walk into heaven. It's like graduation day. You know, you go to a university, people graduate, they get their bachelor's degree or their master's degree and take your topic, but they get a degree as they walk across that graduation platform. That's what it's going to be like for us when we get to heaven. We're going to get the degree of saint. We're going to walk in there and then he's going to say, saint, next. And that's going to be important. Let's read this article really quickly. Well, not really quickly, but let's read the article and go through it here during our show. Hopefully we get a little sense of hope and an understanding of why divine mercy is so important this Sunday. So it says, Sister Saint Faustina, known as the Apostle of Divine Mercy, was a renowned nun and mystic. Throughout her life, she had visions of Jesus and conversations with our Lord and recorded all of her mystic experiences in her diary. On June 2nd, 1938, less than a half a year before her death, Sister Faustina received a vision from Jesus asking her to take a three-day spiritual retreat. Our Lord asked her to read chapter 15 of the Gospel of St. John, and he said, "I want you to read it very slowly and reflect on its teachings. My daughter, consider the life of God, which is found in the church, for the salvation and the sanctification of your soul. Consider the use that you make of these treasures of grace, of these efforts of my love." So, and then our Lord began to say, this is where it gets interesting for us, "My daughter, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare." What followed were 25, they say, secrets. You know, our Lord revealed to her, they call them secrets. I don't want anybody to think that they're secrets, because everybody can read them. They're in her diary. They're not that big a deal in terms of, it's something hidden or something so special. They're for everybody. That's something to consider. I would say that there are 25 goal or 25 hints of spiritual warfare, or 25 points, or 25 ways to live out spiritual warfare, almost like a spiritual way of life, if you will. So he says, this is Jesus told her, "My daughter, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare." And these are the 25 things he told her. Let's start with number one. Now, this is important to consider, not in terms of what, before we get into them, I want my audience to know, this is not in terms of, I'm going to use this like my own little sense of spiritual warfare. It's more a sense of, how am I going to get closer to Christ? These are things that are going to help us so that we understand, how do we focus on these points that Jesus made, 25 points that he made, that are going to help me to realize and recognize getting closer to Christ. All right, folks, welcome back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You are listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. Today, we are talking about Divine Mercy, and Divine Mercy Sunday is coming up. Let's not forget that you can actually get a plenary indulgence Divine Mercy Sunday. The rules apply. You got to make a good confession within a week of the feast of Divine Mercy Sunday. You need to receive communion, and you need to have prayed for the Pope and his intentions. A lot of people might have questions about, I don't know about the Pope's intentions, things of that nature. No, you know, his intentions as far as getting souls closer to God, following the magisterium of the church and the deposit of faith that has been given to us by Christ himself. So we can do that and look into that, because that's important. A lot of people wonder, gosh, how can I get into heaven? I have so many sins. Well, plenary indulgence is a great way to get rid of sin and really focus on getting into heaven without having to make that pit stop of purgatory. But let's start getting back here to these 25 points that Jesus gave to Sister Faustina as far as how to do spiritual warfare and really lift that veil, get rid of those insecurities more than anything else, because I start to feel like I'm not good enough, I can't do it. But the reality is, no, I can't. But Jesus made it so that I could, so long as I trust in him. So, point number one, never trust in yourself, but abandon yourself totally to my will. So Jesus tells her, can't trust yourself on this one. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. That's, I think, the most important part. We're going to notice, we're going to see here that the first point and the last point, like bookends, I would say, are the, if nothing else, the most important thing to focus on. But this is such a big deal. This is huge. I mean, this is, when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to focusing on Christ, never trust in yourself, but abandon yourself totally to my will, which means what? You know, when we start our journey to get to Christ, when we start, you know, especially we start Lent, or you decide to do a retreat for yourself, whatever it is you do, we start by doing it. I know I start this way. We start by doing it by, well, what can I do? What prayers do I need to say? What do I need to focus on? What are my weaknesses in my life? You know, it's easy to get lost in all that and start this journey towards Christ. And what Jesus is saying here is, you got to stop doing that. He's going to tell me, Dr. Sandoval, you got to stop focusing on, well, what are my sins? What are this or that? Don't trust in yourself, because obviously you're not perfect. You failed before in terms of spiritual life. That's why we all stand in the confessional line. And he's saying, you trust in yourself, but don't trust in yourself. Don't worry about that, because all you're going to go back to as a human being is all my weaknesses. The second part of this first point is abandon yourself totally to my will is key. As you start this journey, realize you're not alone. And instead of focusing on what you think you need to do, stop all that and just listen to what I'm telling you. Now, this is hard, folks, because that means that we have to get into a moment of silence. Not a moment of quiet, a moment of silence. A moment of quiet is when there's just no noise around. A moment of silence is very different. Silence is beautiful. Silence is actually, there's a lot going on in silence, because what happens in silence is I'm going to go ahead and get rid of all my thoughts and listen to God speak to me. Notice that I'm saying we're in silence, but God is speaking. There is something going on there. There is something that we need to listen to. We just have to learn how to do that. Now, how do I do that? First of all, I'm not going to hear anything. People are going to think I'm crazy. No, it just takes a little bit of practice. It takes a little bit of time to sit there and say, God, move me. Show me what your will is for me. Help me move in the direction of your will and not mine. So never trusting yourself, but abandon yourself totally to my will. That's such an important component, because it's the first component. You're going to see how the last component is going to bookend on that. Point number two, in desolation, darkness, and various doubts, have recourse to me and to your spiritual director. He will always answer you in my name. So this is very important. What Jesus is telling us at the beginning of this, in desolation, darkness, and various doubts, he's already telling us, look, as you start this journey, as you're going to come closer to me, this is going to happen. You're not going to feel good. You're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like you're in desolation. There's going to be darkness around you, which means that you're not going to be able to see things clearly. Be aware of that. And you're going to start to doubt yourself. Again, not seeing things clearly. What do we do when this happens? I feel alone and I can't see things clearly. He says, have recourse to me and your spiritual director. He will always answer you in my name. This is what's important about having a spiritual director at times, about being able to listen to the words of Jesus, about really listening to the gospel reading at church, about going to receive communion and seeing what's going on. This is where we have recourse to Jesus. And we start to say, you know, I'm not going to focus again on myself. I'm not going to trust myself, because I'm not seeing things clearly. I have to trust that Jesus is guiding me and that Jesus is speaking through other people. Now, that's not to say that we go and we do whatever other people tell us. This is why he said, your spiritual director, one spiritual director. He didn't say, listen to whatever anybody's telling you about me. He's saying, listen to somebody who I am going to inspire as well. So we have to remember that if somebody is a spiritual director, they carry a great weight, that they are being inspired by Christ, and they have to be cautious of what they say to people. All right, let's look at the next one. Do not bargain with any temptation. Lock yourself immediately in my heart. Ah, how many times do we do this? It's so easy, right? We start getting temptations and we start saying, you know what? That's not so bad. You know, Jesus will understand this time. God will understand if I do this time. Well, folks, this is how we try to reason ourselves into sin is okay. But the reality is, it's kind of like saying, you know, from the spiritual perspective, we don't see this, but it's like saying, you know what, I'm going to take this hammer and I'm going to smash my hand and it'll be okay this time. It's not going to hurt that bad. Oh, you know, I'm going to, you know, gosh, it's not so bad. It sounded bad last time. I know I regret it last time, but this time it'll be okay. I'm in control of it. No, folks, it's going to hurt all the time. Sin hurts us all the time, whether we want it to or not. We just don't always see it, because God is merciful and God is saying, hey, I'm giving you a chance to do better before you see all of your sins. And he says, do not bargain with temptation, but lock yourself immediately in my heart. Notice he doesn't say, come to me, pray to me. He says, lock yourself. He says, what does that mean? It means close everything up. Don't pay attention to anything else, like Jesus has been saying, and come to my heart. Understand that it's painful. Now, Jesus' heart, if we look at his sacred heart, it's not a happy place. It's surrounded by a crown of thorns. It's got the flame of love. And so it's going to be sacrificed with love. As I'm fighting temptation, Jesus is saying, I realize it's going to be painful for you, because your natural inclination is going to be, hey, I want to do this. This is something that I think is going to satisfy me, but I need to fight my instinct. That's telling me something's good. I need to fight that and realize it's not so good. My senses tell me it's good. My eyes tell me it's good. Just like Eve at the garden, she saw the fruit and she thought it was good and it was pleasing to the eye, but it was a sin. The same thing's going to happen to us. What do we do in those moments? We have to lock ourselves, meaning close it up. Don't pay attention. Just like, I don't know if anybody ever saw the movie on the Wolfman, but he would say, hey, the moon's going to come out. Lock me up, because I'm going to want to change into this werewolf and I'm not going to be in my five senses. It's the same thing. We got to lock ourselves up when temptation comes around and realize, got to let that moment pass, and the moment will pass. Then Jesus says, at the first opportunity, reveal the temptation to the confessor. That's the best thing to do, to tell him, hey, listen, I've got this temptation. I need to get rid of it. You reveal your temptation, and all of a sudden it's out in the open. The worst part is to have the temptation, you know, as a secret in the background. Nobody knows about it. Nobody will know. Nope. Put it out in the open and you'll see how quickly it'll go away. Put your self-love in the last place so it does not taint your deeds. That's important. How many times do we do things just to gain an important part for ourselves, or just to look good or to feel good that we did something, but it really not, you know, for the generosity of others? How many times do I try to, do something nice for somebody in front of so many different people? That's all about me. That's all about me looking important and me looking good. It has nothing to do really for the well-being of others. And that's what taints our deeds. That's what makes the deed not so genuine. This one, the next one's important. Bear with yourself with great patience, because that's the other thing. You know, a lot of times we do things just like I was saying. How many times have I done things out just trying to look good? Well, that comes from a place of insecurity, really. You know, we need to do something to get people's approval or to get people to feel like we're loved or things along those lines. All of a sudden, I'm feeling pretty insecure. I'm feeling like I need to get approval from other people. How many times do people do that on social media? How many likes did I get? How many friends do I have? How many people like my picture? And all of a sudden, I feel that because all these virtual approvals came in and all these thumbs up came in. Oh, that makes me important. I feel good about myself. People, you know, that's all false. It's fake. It's virtual, and it's a virtual self-esteem, because how long does that last? Well, this is the next part. Why do we do that? Because we know we're not perfect, because we know that there's parts of us that aren't great. But point number six, Jesus is saying, bear with yourself with great patience. What does that mean? It means that slow down, be patient with yourself, recognize that, yeah, you are not perfect. And you have to kind of put up with yourself a little bit. That's not easy to do. We have to put up with, you know, we're not always going to be loved by others. We're not always going to be recognized for our talents by others. And we're going to feel bad about that. Or we recognize where our faults are. Slow down. Be patient with yourself. Recognize that Jesus already knows that. God already knows that. And he loves us anyway. This is where God's great mercy comes in. This is where all of a sudden we're going to go into Divine Mercy Sunday, and we got to show up, and we can't show up with our head down. We got to show up with, look, this is what I got. This is what God gave me, because we have to build up our gifts as well in a humble way. Let's look at point number seven. Do not neglect interior mortifications. This is important, especially, you know, we just came off of Lent. We came off of the season of the Triduum as well. And all of a sudden we have to ask ourselves, did I truly fast on Good Friday? Or was I saying, you know, I can eat this or I can eat that, or, you know, is this really meat or not? I don't know. Lamb, is that really meat? I'll eat this or that. You know, we start to forget that there's sacrifices that we need to do for ourselves. Sometimes we get little inclinations or little nudges and God says, no, you know what? Don't eat that cookie. And so it doesn't have to be Lent. It could be any time of day or any time of season of the year. And do we listen to that? Do we recognize that? Gosh, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should pay more attention to God. Those are good questions to ask. Look at point number eight. Always justify to yourself the opinions of your superiors and your confessor. This one's important because this is a test of humility. Let's read that one again, because this one's really, really important, especially in spiritual warfare. This is where I can tell you I've been on the end of this, where, well, let's read it again and I'll explain it. Always justify to yourself the opinions of your superiors and your confessors. What does that mean? You know, sometimes if we go to confession, or we do have a superior, like your spiritual director or something along those lines. Now, keep in mind, he was talking to a nun, so she was going to have a superior, an abbess or the mother of the house or whatever it is. Or for us, we go to confession and we hear what the priest has to say. And we say, oh, no, that's not good enough. Oh, no, I need something different. Oh, no, that's not right. No, that doesn't fall. This is where Jesus is saying, slow down. You need to trust what they're saying. You need to justify that. What if your confessor tells you, you know what, you need to pray more. You haven't been doing it. And you say, what's he talking about? I've done extra novenas this last month. Maybe. But were you truly praying? Were you truly focused on the novenas, or did you do them while you were distracted? Or did you really have that moment of prayer with God? And Jesus is talking to you through your confessor saying, you know, your prayers are kind of empty. You need to focus on your prayers more. He's saying, justify what these people are telling you, because I'm going to be speaking through them. I've had this where people come to me, not that Jesus is always speaking through me, but you know, people have come to me for advice on spiritual warfare, on mental health. And they say, this is what's going on with me. I'm having this symptom, and I need help. And I don't know what to do. And I am seeing a psychiatrist, and they're giving me these medications. And I tell them, you know what? It sounds like you're doing the right things. It sounds like you need to be patient with yourself. Go ahead and continue to take that medication. And, you know, you got to give it time. And people will come back and they're upset. They're, no, that's not right. I'm telling you, I need this and I need that and I need this. And I'm like, well, okay, you're telling me what you need, but you don't want to listen to what my advice is. I don't know exactly what the goal of the conversation is. Do you just want me to listen to you so that you want me to listen to you tell me what you need? Or do you really want to listen to the advice that I'm giving you? I realize, unfortunately, what you need is some time. It's hard to listen to. Well, more of these points when we come back from the break. All right, folks, welcome back to Brooklyn Most Powerful Radio. You are listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. Today, we are prepping ourselves for Divine Mercy Sunday. What a great way to end the Easter octave. You know, we start off with Easter. Jesus rises from the dead for us after suffering on the cross. And then all of a sudden, he tells us, you know what? I did this for you. Remember that. He's God. He didn't need to do anything for himself. There's absolutely no reason he needed to die on a cross. There's absolutely no reason he needed to shed his blood other than for the great love he had for us and to make up for our sins so that we can make it to heaven. That's how much he loves us. I think that truly we don't understand how much he loves us, and we're never going to understand it until we start to follow what Jesus is saying and saying, you know what? I can't trust myself because my mind isn't going to comprehend the love that God has for me. I'm just going to trust in God's will and abandon myself to God's will. Start doing that, folks. Boy, we're going to reap those rewards. Well, let's keep going through these 25 points that Jesus gave to Sister Faustina on Divine Mercy, specifically with regard to spiritual warfare. We're always thinking about how can I up my spiritual warfare game? These 25 points are a great way to do it. We finished off with point number 8. Let's go through the next 8 points here, maybe 8 or 9 points, and say and see what Jesus has to say for us. So the next one, this is a great this one. Boy, this is a tough one. Number 9, shun murmurs like the plague. What does that mean? What are murmurs? How many times are we good at doing that? How many times do we hear people, you know, I heard, you know, they say, you know, some people, you know what they say? They say a lot of things, and I don't even know who they are. You know, these murmurs, I heard that this, well, who'd you hear from? You know, murmurs, this is what starts rumors. It's what starts gossiping. It's what start, really, murmurs can be very, very dangerous. It's almost like a murmur is like a small ember, a small little fire in the forest that maybe somebody forgot to put out. Maybe it's just left there and all of a sudden a good wind comes by and spreads that and creates a huge forest fire. And that's what murmurs are like. Murmurs are but the beginning of big rumors of lies and really can do a lot of damage in the same way. Shun murmurs like the plague. The hard part with that is that they are so enticing. What did you hear? Oh, is that right? No way. Well, you know, I heard something similar. And, oh, you know, well, does it matter? No, I don't know what you heard or what you didn't hear. I know what's in front of me right now, what I got to take care of. That's the attitude we got to have. So hard to do, though, because murmurs can be so juicy. Jesus is telling us, get rid of that. Don't even pay attention to it. Shun it like a plague. It's so small, but Jesus recognizes this. A murmur is something very small, a small whisper. And notice that he compares it to a plague, you know, that we just got through a plague, didn't we? The big quarantine that supposedly took over the whole world, shut down the world when we were doing COVID quarantine, started off like a little murmur, and all of a sudden everything shut down. That's what we got to do with rumors and whatnot. That's what's going to help us fight spiritual warfare, because we don't want to let that darkness into our heart. Next one, let all act as they like. You are to act as I want you to. Boy, that's a great one. You know, when Jesus tells us that, that's on a different level right there. Because how many times do I see this all the time with my patients? How come that person can smoke marijuana and they're okay, but I smoke marijuana and I go nuts? You know, that's how it is. Well, how come that person can drink alcohol and they're not alcoholic, but I can't have a drop because then I lose everything. I lose my job and my family. You know, I can't explain to you why things are they are, but like Jesus said, let other people act and do whatever they're going to do. Don't worry about that. You are to act as I want you to. If Jesus is telling you, hey, you can't do this and you can't do that, well, how come everybody else gets to do that? Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. I need you to do this. This is important. You know, this is just like when Jesus was talking to his apostles, even his apostles were asking him, hey, who's the greater here and who's this? And, you know, John, what is he going to stick around? And are you going to give him a bigger job than me? And Jesus said to his apostles, what do you care what I tell him to do or not do? You do what you've been told to do. That's a big one. That's a big one in spiritual warfare, because we need to focus on what does God want from me? I'm not worried about somebody else's vocation or their salvation in terms of, other than out of goodwill and charity, sure, but I need to focus more on my own goodwill, on my own salvation. I need to work on that, because that's what's going to be important. Just like Jesus reminds me of the gospel, where Jesus is saying, don't worry about the twig in your neighbor's eye when you can't see the log in your own. That's the same thing. Let others do what they're going to do. You can't control that. That's another thing that's important in spiritual warfare. We want to control so many things, and in mental health. Gosh, Dr. Sandoval, I want this to happen. I want this. I want that. And I need this. Well, slow down. How much of that are you in control of? How much of that can you truly do? Do whatever you can and let everything else be. That's hard to do. You know, it's easy to say, it's hard to do, because we want to change things. We want to make things happen. And we forget, this is really truly where patience and trusting in the Lord and acting in the Lord, that's what's going to change your life. That's what's going to make the biggest difference. And that's where you truly are going to overcome darkness. That's what scares the demons away more than anything else. That we're submissive to God's will. You just got some scared demons around. Well, they're always scared to begin with, but they're going to go away. They can't stand that. Let's look at number 11. Observe the rule as faithfully as you can. Now, it's interesting here. Observe the rule as faithfully as you can. Remember, Sister Faustina was a nun, so obviously she was in a house where they observed a rule. Every time you go to a order or a group of religious people, they will be observing rules, such as the Norbertines here in Orange County. They observe the rule of St. Augustine. Or if you go to the Benedictines, they observe the rule of St. Benedict. And they're just rules to follow within the house. Jesus is saying, observe the rule as faithfully as you can. Is that true for people who are not in religious orders? Yeah, absolutely. You know, even if we're not, you're going to say, well, Dr. Sandoval, I'm not a nun. I'm not a priest. I'm not in, what do you mean observe the rule? We have different rules. If you're married, you have the rules. Have you loved your wife? Have you paid attention to what you can do for your family? Have you put your family first? Have you followed the Ten Commandments? So those are rules we need to follow just as lay people. If you're not married, follow the Ten Commandments. Those are the rules that we need to follow. Have you observed those rules as faithfully as you can? Obedience is a big deal, because that's really what that comes down to. Are you obedient to God's will? The rules that are set up there are just kind of like Jesus was saying before, superiors, confessors. If I observe these rules, if I can do that as faithfully as possible, gosh, I'm being obedient to God. Obedience is huge in spiritual warfare. It's so powerful that we don't even recognize that just by being obedient, we think, oh, I'm not doing anything. But the act itself, the act of obedience, can overcome so much darkness and really help us find clarity in recognizing when I get to the doors of heaven and Jesus says, do you accept my mercy? I want to be obedient to that. I want to be humble to that. I want to say, yes, Jesus, I accept whatever it is that you let me know that I need to do, you know, whatever I need to deserve or whatever I deserve. And because of your mercy, I can make it to heaven. I'll obey you. Not because of myself. In myself, I feel shame. I realize I don't deserve that. I recognize that I don't deserve that. But if you tell me that your dying justifies it, I will trust you. I will obey you. I will observe your rule. That's a place of humility more than anything else. You can't get into heaven without humility, because you're going to recognize how much God's mercy cleaned up your life. That's really what it comes down to. Hell, there's no zero humility. Nobody accepted Jesus. Nobody accepted God there. That's what it comes down to, you know, bottom line. That's a good point. Number 12, if someone causes you trouble, oh, it already starts. If someone causes you trouble, and how many people are making a list right now saying, oh, hang on a second, let me get my list out of everybody who's causing me trouble. It says, think what good you can do for the person who caused you to suffer. Oh, no. If somebody causes me trouble, Jesus, what are you telling me to do now? This person's causing me trouble, and you want me to do something good for them. How is that even possible, Jesus? Well, this is not something new, technically speaking, folks. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? That was the first thing he said in the gospel that everybody was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, Jesus said, love your enemies. If someone causes you trouble, you think somebody's your enemy, do something good for them. Why is that? Because the reality is, they might be causing me trouble. How many times do I cause other people trouble? And I don't even recognize it. I might not even be doing it intentionally. I might be like, you know what? That person, I'm going to do this and this, and they're going to see that as trouble. What good does it do me to do something good for them? Well, let me ask this. Why are they causing us trouble? What's going on in their life that they're negative? What's going on in their life that they feel like they need to do something bad for people? What's going on? Why is that? Somebody's causing you trouble. They might have never had a kind word. They might have never had somebody look out for them. They might have never had somebody tell them that they were loved or worthy. You might be that instrument. You might be that person. You do something good for that person. They might see the world in a different way. They might see a positivity. They might see something. It's almost like a Christmas Carol, you know, Scrooge McDuck situation where he's just bad. But the ghosts came and taught him something good, and they showed him what his life was like. Doing something good for that person doesn't mean that necessarily mean that you're going to throw them a party. But doing something good might be helping them recognize that, gosh, they're hurting a lot of people, or that, you know, they need to improve their people skills, something along those lines. You never know what something good is, but that can change people's lives, and it can change the ways we interact with people. If we find the good in other people, trust me, if I start to do that, the evil spirits aren't going to want to be around. They're going to get scared. They're going to say, oh no, this guy's selling good things. He can see past what we're doing. He can see past the fact that we're tempting this person to be trouble. And all of a sudden, boy, we're not going to be able to work here. We're out of there. Let's look at number 13. Do not pour out your feelings. This is so important. We see this all the time in therapy, in mental health. Now, granted, you come to me in a session of mental health and you can pour, that's a safe place to pour out your feelings. That's what you got to do. That's what we're there for. But that's because I'm there to rebuild that and to say, okay, wow, you got a whole lot of feelings going on. Let's rebuild this and let's make these solid so that you don't have to keep pouring these out to everybody. The problem is when we're out in public, when we're out in social situations and we just tell everybody how we're feeling, that's no good because most people, they're not going to do anything with that. They're not going to be able to help you out. And a lot of people are out there, they're going to try to manipulate it and see how they use it to their advantage, believe it or not, because you look vulnerable. It's unfortunately what happens. And remember, these are points to help with fighting spiritual warfare. When people start pouring out their feelings, it's a point of vulnerability and the darkness can see that. And they say, oh, this person's weak. They don't have much resilience. Let's get in there and let's make them feel even worse. So one of the things, this is so key. I mean, this is just basic therapy right here. This is what Jesus has given us. Do not pour out your feelings. What does that mean? That your feelings aren't important? No, your feelings are very, very important. What it means is you need to guard your heart. You need to recognize that the interior life is important, and there should be, and sometimes it should remain interior. The interior life is so important that it's that special relationship one-on-one with God. Our feelings sometimes are God speaking to us, and we need to work through those. We need to figure out, how can I best address those feelings without hurting anybody else or myself? More of these points when we come back from the break. All right, folks, welcome back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Today, we are talking about divine mercy, and we're talking about what do we need to do to truly put our heart in a place where we accept God's mercy, and how do we fight any negative thoughts on that journey? You know, during our Lenten season, during the season of Triduum, how many times do we feel like I'm unworthy, God doesn't love me, you know, I don't know what it is that I'm going to be doing with my life, how can I get better spiritually? Or how many times do we have the opposite? Boy, look at how good I am. Look at how much God loves me. I am so spiritually strong. I am so much better than so many people around me. You know, we can go the opposite ends of the extreme. And if we look at these points that Jesus himself gave to Sister Faustina on spiritual warfare, really more than anything else, these are focused on humility and keeping that center line. This is great therapy. I can tell you this from a mental health perspective. This is truly a spiritual health perspective. The mind of the soul needs to focus on these things because sometimes it's easy to get lost. And really, more than anything else, if you think about it, when we get lost is because we're trying to rely on ourselves and we're not actually focused on what is it that Jesus and God want for me? What is it that their will is? What is it that I need to be doing to really make it to heaven? Let's go through these last few points here. These are important as we continue to focus on divine mercy, on what Jesus wants, on how Jesus wants to forgive our sins. But we need to be ready for that. We need to prepare ourselves for that. And these are great points to do that. So the last one was not pour out your feelings. The next one is pretty important and it's hard to do. Be silent when you are rebuked. Now, I'm going to do 14 and 15 together. Be silent when you are rebuked. And the next one after that is do not ask everybody's opinion, but only the opinion of your confessor. Be as frank and simple as a child with him. Actually, the last three. So it was do not pour out your feelings, be silent when you're rebuked, and do not ask anyone's opinion, but only that of your confessor. These are important to kind of put together because it's really about guarding the heart. Jesus is saying, look, I know you guys are vulnerable. I know that your feelings are going to be easily hurt. I know that you don't always see things the way I see things, and you're always relying on trying to get validation from everyone else. And this is what Jesus is saying. You don't need validation from everybody else. Listen to what I'm telling you. Stop talking to everybody else. Just focus on what I'm telling you. And notice he says, only listen to the opinion of your confessor. So be silent when you're rebuked. That's a little bit hard to do because all of a sudden somebody's telling us our faults and we really want to defend ourselves because we feel like we're being attacked. That's usually what happens. And we want to say, hey, hang on a second. You know, this is why are you attacking me? Why are you telling me these things? Nope. Jesus is saying, hey, slow down, be silent, let them speak. And then take that with you and see what's true, what's not true. Because remember, they are human too. They might be making a mistake, but we have to trust that they might be inspired by Jesus. Do not ask everyone's opinion because not everybody's going to be inspired by Christ. When you go to confession, that's Jesus working. And he's saying, be as simple as a child with him. When you go to confession, listen to the opinion of your confessor, but be honest with yourself. Be simple. Don't try to complicate things. You know, the truth is very, very simple. Sin is very, very simple. The reason we sin is very, very simple. Let's look at the next points. Do not become discouraged by ingratitude. That's an important one. Sometimes we do things for people and we feel like, gosh, we should get a thank you, or can we recognize what it is I did here? And all of a sudden, it's easy to become discouraged because we're saying, hey, nobody's even recognizing my gifts. Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. And why is he saying that? Because he's saying, I already do recognize your gifts. That's all you really need. I'm there. I see what you did. I see what you did there. I got you. Keep going, champ. We need to stop and listen to Jesus, though. We need to be in that silence to be able to receive that. Do not examine with curiosity the roads down which I lead you. That's important. You know, a lot of times people will start going down, following Christ, following the roads that Jesus leads us down. And we start saying, I wonder why that is. I wonder, Jesus is actually saying, look, when you're going to follow me, put on your blinders. I'm going to show you where the road is. You're just going to walk down and you're going to let me work. Stop trying to figure things out too much. Don't overthink things. You start to examine with curiosity. I can tell you this from a therapeutic perspective. That's what leads to scrupulosity, because people start going, what about this? What about that? Oh, I heard that this holy water over here is more holy than this one. Oh, I heard that this apparition was more true than this. You start going down this road of curiosity. At the end of the day, anything past loving Jesus is extra. Anything past saying, I'm going to go to confession, I'm going to receive the Eucharist, and I'm going to try to make up for my sins, I'm going to do an examination of conscience. Truly, folks, that's all we need. You start looking at apparitions and all these things. That's great. I love them. I think they're fascinating. It's great to read. But how much of what the message of the apparition leads us back to confession, communion, and reparation for our sins? That's what it comes down to. It's beautiful to have that connection with heaven. But really, more than anything else, it should just be a reassurance that the basic is all we need. When boredom and discouragement beat against your heart, run away from yourself and hide in my heart. Boredom and discouragement. That's going to lead us away from Christ. Once we start getting bored and we start to feel like nothing's exciting, we're always looking for excitement. Jesus knows that. That's why he would even say this. And you start to feel discouraged. Boy, nothing's exciting, which means that, you know, I'm down the wrong path. Jesus, what does he say? He says, run away from yourself. He's like, that's not coming from me. You start getting bored. You start getting discouraged. That's not what the road I'm leading you down. That's not something where I'm telling you that, oh yeah, that's what you should stay on. He's like, no, something's going on there. That's where you got to come back to me. It's probably, you know, I think that if we are feeling bored and or discouraged, that's just telling me that that's a pit stop. You know, it's a pit stop of where Jesus is saying, hey, right now you're refueling. You need to take that time, slow down, because something else is going to be coming your way. And that's where Jesus is saying, run away from yourself and hide in my heart. Jesus will give us that message. He'll say, hey, come back to my divine mercy. Let me show you how to continue down that path so you're ready. Remember, what's the whole point of the spiritual warfare for divine mercy? So that we're ready to accept Jesus' mercy, so that we don't start discouraging ourselves and feeling like, You know, I'm not worthy anymore. That's the problem. And we start heading down that road. The next point is, do not fear struggle. Courage itself often imitates intimidates temptations, and they dare not attack us. So do not fear struggle. Listen to this one. This is important. When we are being tempted, what are we supposed to do? A lot of times we're afraid of that. We start to feel, one, that the temptation itself is a sin. Oh my goodness, I'm being tempted to this or that. That must mean that I'm sinful. No, what Jesus is saying is, I need you to fight. I need you to make a sacrifice, because I'm sending this temptation your way because I know that you are courageous and you will fight it. And in the midst of your fight, you might be saving a soul in purgatory. You might be helping out one of your family members. You might be helping out somebody who's about to be tempted themselves in sin. And Jesus is saying, look, the temptation is supposed to go to this guy, but he's not going to be strong enough to fight it. I'm going to send it your way because I want you to fight it. And once you fight it, you're going to see how strong you are. And once you do that, if you can fight that for me, I'll use that in whatever graces I can, spread them out the way I can. And guess what? You're not going to get those temptations again. You might not have those until the next battle. It's like, if you ever listen to Father Ripperger, he always says, God loves a good fight. He loves to see us fight. Why? Because if you look at the cross, Jesus fought for us. Jesus fought to get rid of our sins. Jesus fought so that we could make it to heaven. That's the whole point of our Easter season and that we're in right now, the octave, and divine mercy. We need to recognize Jesus is saying, I fought for you courageously. I need you to do the same for me. It's possible. Let's look at the next one. Always fight. Notice it goes from courage and fighting temptations. Don't fear struggle. Always fight with deep conviction that I am with you. That's the most important part. We start fighting anything and recognize it's kind of like we're on the battle lines. If anybody ever saw the movie Braveheart or any of these great battle movies, Jesus is the one leading the fight and we're just running next to him on that battleground. That's what we have to remember. I'm not always good at remembering that. I've been in the dark places where you feel alone, where you feel like, oh, this is it. It's just me. I don't deserve anything. All my sins are going to be exposed. How embarrassing, how shameful. I haven't been perfect. People are going to find out about that. Deep, dark secrets of times where I didn't fight, where I didn't have that courage. And we start to feel like we're alone in a very, very dark place. And that can be kind of scary. That can actually be dangerous. And we don't want to be there. Why? Because this is what Jesus is telling us. Fight with deep conviction that I am with you. When you are feeling alone, when you're in those moments of darkness, recognize that Jesus is right there. Jesus is right there next to us and he's fighting. We have to remember that. It's not always going to come to us, but we need to make that effort. We need to, and you know when, how we make that effort? We start thinking about that every day. The only way to do that is to recognize and to start walking with Christ every day and recognize that Jesus is with me now. So when we do have those moments, we can be like, hey, Jesus, you were with me the whole time. You're still with me now. I don't feel it, but I know you're there. It's a little bit dark, but I know you're there. Let's keep talking. That's what's going to be important. All right, let's look at the last few points here. Not too many more. These are great points for spiritual warfare, folks. This is a, you know, this is, as Jesse would say, high information Catholicism, because it's coming from Jesus himself. It doesn't get better than that. It can't get better than that. It's coming from Christ who spoke to Sister Faustina. You know, how do you even compare? You know, how do you even compare? Well, let's look at the next one. Do not be guided by feeling, because it is not always under your control. But all merit lies in the will. This is so important in today's day and age. How many people go off of feelings in today's day and age? How many people say, oh, this must be right because it feels right? You know, this is especially true. You got to be careful when you hear people say, God put this in my heart. The Holy Spirit put this in my heart. No, it just tells me that you're feeling a certain way. That just tells me that you want to be to believe that your feeling is what's guiding you. But this is where Jesus is saying, actions speak louder than words. He's saying all merit lies in the will. Let me see what you're doing about things. It doesn't matter what your words are, what your feelings are. Let's see how you're acting. Where's your will? What is it that you want to do? This is important in spiritual warfare. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's what's happening. Let's look at 22. Always depend upon your superiors, even in the smallest things. This is really where Jesus is saying, don't trust in yourself at all. Listen to what everybody else is saying. Don't follow just nilly-willy. But he's saying, follow your superiors. This is what's going to get you into heaven. And with the world of therapy, are you listening to your therapist? Are you trusting your therapist? Or do you have your own agenda? I can tell you that even going to regular doctors, even have to be therapy, it could be primary care. How many times do we go to the doctor and we say, gosh, I'm going to find out what it is that this doctor knows or thinks. I'm not going to tell him everything that's going on with me, but I'm just going to see if I can trick him. I'm going to lie to him. Ah, I tricked my doctor. And people feel really sometimes important, or they feel great. Like, oh, I was able to trick my doctor. I got him to give me this prescription. How good was that? You know, if, as a doctor, I'm going to listen to what your symptoms are. There has to be a level of trust. But if you don't trust that your doctor is going to give you what's best for you, that can be a little challenging. That can be a little bit challenging. Depend upon your superiors, even in the smallest things. Listen to what they're telling you. This is where Jesus is saying the next part. I will not delude you with prospects of peace and consolations. On the contrary, prepare for great battles. This is super important in the world of spiritual warfare. Why? Because Jesus is telling us it's not going to be easy. I think a lot of times we think, oh, we're on the right path when things are at peace and when things are good. Now I know that I'm with God. No, Jesus is saying you're not in heaven yet. You're still on earth. You're going to have to battle. There's not going to be peace and consolation. There's going to be battles. If you're battling, that's when you're in a good place, actually. That's when I know that you're coming towards me. That's important to remember. You know, a lot of people come to therapy and they say, oh, I don't feel good. I don't, you know, this or that. I say, I don't know that you're always supposed to feel good. I need a pill to feel good. There's not a pill for feeling good all the time. Sometimes it's important to recognize life will be a battle. Let's look at the last couple of points here. Know that you are on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you. I think that one's important. And the last one is fight like a knight so I can reward you. Do not be unduly fearful because you are not alone. Okay, let's take a look at those two. Know that you're on a great stage where all of heaven and earth are watching you. This is important to remember because sometimes we feel like we're walking alone. We don't know what we're doing. And fight like a knight because we are on the stage. This is your fight. This is your time. Accept God's mercy. Look towards Jesus' heart and keep it Catholic.